ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ नौ दिस् उपासनम् दिस् मेडिटेशन् नौ ओके उपनिषद् दिस् presenting this meditation, so one has to visualize the annam brahma upon one's own physical body. And what is that? What do you visualize here? What is here is there. Pindande yadasti tadeva brahmande api asti. It is like the water, simple, only one simple understanding here. Wave and the ocean are essentially one. In fact, you know, we say gold and the chain are essentially one. Like the Vyashti Deha, Annamayaha Deha and Samashti Virat Annam Brahma are essentially one and the same. So we are seeing important lesson. That means even the before the birth also this body existed in the form of matter. And after the birth also, in the form of body also, this body is nothing but matter. And even after the death of the body also, this body is what? Actually, it continues to be in the form of the matter. And this is what now is a constantly, continuously happening something. The matter will be constantly changing into different forms. So this... what death itself is nothing but a change, and change is the change of form and name of the always perennially eternally existing matter without being created, without being destroyed. It appearing in different forms and names is what? Birth and death. So this will help us now. What is the purpose of this meditation? This we have to derive corollaries from this presentation, but it doesn't say much explicitly. What is the purpose of this meditation? What benefit does it serve? Upasana phalam kimasti. If we are a simple people interested in material gains, if we practice this meditation, we will have material gains as fruit of this meditation. So the person who is interested in material gain or materialistic gains and practices this meditation, and his meditation is called Sakama Upasanam. Sakama Upasanam will result in the accomplishment of materialistic ends. And Upanishad itself says here, such a one who practices this meditation will be blessed with the food always. He will enjoy all forms of food in his life. He will never starve. He will not know what starvation is. That is the benefit of meditation, Upanishad says. But what is the benefit of practicing this meditation? If a person has spiritual end, spiritual goal, the person who is spiritual and who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge and for whom moksha is the ultimate end, and such a person who practices this meditation, he knows practicing, visualizing the whole grass matter, Virat, Annam Brahma upon this physical, grass physical body is not going to relegate him moksha jnanam, but still he practices this meditation. It is called Nishkama Upasanam. Because this person may not be, is not interested in really materialistic ends. He practices this meditation ultimately for moksha jnanam. But what will this meditation do? This meditation will not really give him directly jnanam or moksha. But this meditation will give him jnana yogyata. It will help him to become qualified for moksha jnanam. If it is practiced as a nishkama upasanam, it will bless one with eligibility for knowledge, which is moksha. And it will also contribute for expansion of the mind. So expansion of the mind will really help us in due course of time to resolve our differences, narrow-mindedness, divisiveness. I am African, I am black, I am English, I am European, I am Indian, I am Hindu, I am Christian, I am Muslim. Of course, we are different. There is no doubt. All are not equal, but all are one. With the differences also, we can be friendly with each other, we can contribute for each other's well-being, mutually contributive. But if we can manage our divisiveness, and the divisiveness itself is what now? Because of this isolation. Because of this deha abhimana, strong notion that I am the body, that strong, no? So rooted. Deha abhimana means identity with the physical body. Is so strong means it is the problem. Whereas this practicing this Anna Brahma Upasanam upon this physical, one's own physical body as Alambanam will, in due course of time, will result in what now? Expansion of the mind, which will help us resolve our narrow divisiveness, etc. And also, it will in the due course of time, it will contribute for Chitta Shuddhi, which is Chitta Shuddhi means mental purity. It will also contribute for Chitta Naishchalyam, mental steadiness. Thereby, it will contribute for Jnana Yogyata. It will contribute for preparedness of the mind for knowledge. This is the Nishkama Upasana Phalam. So, so Upasanam is possible only if something is glorious. We will not meditate upon something which doesn't have any glories at all. And Annam Brahma Upanishad presents these four glories. Then when it presents, the expects us to visualize this Annam Brahma. Then it also talks that the phalam also is mentioned there. So Sakama Upasana phalam is the material gain. Nishkama Upasana phalam is Jnana Yogyata Praptihi, accomplishment of the qualification required for the knowledge. So here, what will happen, not only that, the more and more we practice this meditation. What is practicing this meditation? Nothing to practice, not big practice of meditation. You focus your attention upon this fact. What is meditation? Paying your attention. Meditation means don't think something, sitting and doing like this. Totally paying your attention to the nature of the physical body. And seeing how this physical body is nothing but what is outside. What is outside is here, what is here is what is outside. All that is here is what now? Pancha bhautikam prapanchaha. Pancha bhuta prapancha. It only elemental. And it has no beginning, it has no end. It continues to exist, constantly undergoing changes. It will also, in the long run, it will help us what now? To understand all, not only this physical body, all that is here is panchabhutani. All that I see, all that I enjoy is what? Only panchabhutani, five elements only. It's all elemental matter only. All elements. Therefore, this physical body always is a matter, and there is no death is just the change of Namarupa. Birth also is a change of Namarupa. death also is change of namarupa. In between birth and death also constantly there what now? Change on the part of the existing namarupa. Change of namarupa and change on the part of the namarupa in between also. So change, that is the nature of the matter. Therefore, the more I visualize, it will result in what? It will loosen my ahankara. It will weaken my ahankara. Weaken my ahankara means what now? It will help us to weaken my deha abhimana, identity with the body. Because you are objective towards your body. The more you see this physical body, pay attention to this, the nature of the physical body, and seeing how it is, this matter is so great, five elements are so great. Why? They pervade all the physical forms here. Brahma. And these grass elements are prior to all the physical forms here. What were these forms, all the physical bodies we see here, what were they before? They are only elements before. You can say food, and before food what were there? They were, you know, plants, and what were they before that? Only elements. The jet. They are the cause, karanam, and they are the effects. And actually speaking, this, that matter alone, in fact, the food we eat, now which really appeases our hunger in the stomach, like, you know, it quenches this digestive fire in the stomach, also is nothing but this matter only. The food that we eat also, originally what? This matter only. So, sarva oshadam. Osham dhayati iti oshadam. Therefore, when you think about again and again, you will become objective towards your body. Objectivity. When the more you become objective, more you dwell upon this fact, more you will be objective towards the body. The more you are able to be objective towards the body, the more it weakens your deha abhimana. You know, your identity with the body, deha abhimana becomes weakened. The deha abhimana becomes weakened, the ahankara becomes thinner also. Fat ahankara becomes thin, put to starvation. Deha abhimana goes and ahankara becomes thin. You cannot kill huge fellow overnight. What should you do? Put him to starvation. Okay? Don't give him food. And then make him slowly weaken him. When he becomes up totally weak, then it's easy to kill him. Easy to kill. I can't even imagine such things. I'm just saying. Strongest fellow, how to suppose a Rakshasa. There's no Rasha other than Ahankara, Rakshasa. You know, all the time causes, doing atrocities, brings unhappiness to society everywhere. This Rakshasa has to be killed. He has to be killed, no other go, because you cannot be peaceful and happy at all. The Rakshasa is there. But you cannot kill him. He's so powerful and strong. So you have to make him weak first. Make him weak. Weak, weaker, 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 weakest, then kill him. This ahankara is what now? Now the more deha abhimana is there, identity with the body is so strong, then it is very difficult to resolve ahankara quickly. So what we should do? Make the ahankara thin. Weaken the ahankara, weaken the deha abhimana. How can you weaken the deha abhimana? Not overnight. No, only by learning to be objective towards the physical body. How can you learn to be objective towards physical body? By dwelling upon this fact. What is this physical body? What is there? The whole prapancha is matter. This is matter. All that is here is matter. Understand? Therefore, Upanishad presents this. Now, so but what does it do? It repeats. It says, Sarvam vaite namapnuvanti. Sarvam vaite namapnuvanti. Sarvam annam vaite apnuvanti. Te apnuvanti. Apnuvanti means they attain. Who attain? No? Those who practice this. Those who practice this like an exercise. Those who exercise this. Those who constantly dwell upon this fact of physical body and the matter being essentially one. That thereby what happens? The whole Annam Brahma becomes visualized, meditated upon. Meditated, isn't it? Meditation, paying attention to the nature of the body and dwelling upon the nature of the body is what? Dwelling upon the nature of the entire Virat. Everything is as good as this. Therefore, those who practice this meditation, ye upasate, ye Annam Brahma Upasate. Yea, those people who meditate upon this Annam Brahma. Meditate upon Annam Brahma means what? Those who dwell upon the nature of the Annam Brahma, the total gross matter Virat. How? By dwelling upon the nature of their own physical body. Is it clear now? For such people, they Annam apnuvanti. Those people, they means they. English they is Sanskritam they. Those people who dwell upon the nature of the Annam Brahma by dwelling upon the nature of the physical body. Annam apnuvanti. They get lot of food. Annam apnuvanti means what now? They will starve. There will not be daridram, poverty in their life. That means they will always eat all forms of food, all types of food, very good food, healthy food, nutritious food, tasty food. They'll never starve. All forms of food they'll get. Wherever they'll go, like me. I don't know whether I did Annam Brahma Upasana previous janma. But God always blesses us with a lot of good food, isn't it? We all, of course. So, Annam Brahma Upasana. Dude, I'm not tremending as a fart. Hungry. No, don't get hungry now. Hope you're not hungry. But he says, why? Why means definitely. It is not simply in a cock and bull story here. What is said here is a fact. The upasana phalam is definite. The definiteness of the upasana phalam is indicated by that word, that thing, that vai, that word letter vai. Te vai annam apnuvanti. Who ye annam brahma upasate. Annam Brahma. Annam, the gross matter, is Brahman because it pervades all the material, the gross physical bodies, not only physical bodies, all the physical forms, all species here. Now he says, now again Upanishad repeats the same thing. Why? Because whenever the teaching needs to be reinforced and re-emphasized or reconfirmed, then there is repetition. So Upanishad is the same thing now. See, annagam hi bhutanam jeshtam. Annagam hi bhutanam jeshtam. So annam, the gross matter, annam brahma, the all-pervasive gross matter, is the prior, primordial cause, the primordial, preeminent of all the beings here. And therefore what now? Tasmaat sarvoshadhamuchyate.
Tasmaat
sarvoshadhamuchyate. Therefore also it's said to be what now? Sarva oshadham. Because this grass matter alone in the form of plant, remaining form of plants and food, appeases the, what now, satisfies the digestive fire in the stomach. Annaat bhutani jayante.
Annaat bhutani jayante.
All the physical forms of all the beings are born of this grass matter alone. Jatanyanena vardhante.
Jatanyanena vardhante.
And whatever is born, what all those beings, physical forms of all life species which are born, also what now? They grow and they become big and they survive by this food alone. Because of this Annam Brahma alone, Nima food, all of them grow and live. Thereafter, last Upanishad wants to talk about the derivation of the word Annam. It is Annam, very interesting thing. Annam, literally which means food, and here by implication which means the grass matter. The grass matter, constitution of elements, grass elements. Why is it said to be Annam? Why is this Annam is said to be Annam? It has come from the root Adu. Adu Bhakshane. The root is Adu. Bhakshane. I mean to eat. And from there you get the verb what now? Atti. Atti means eats. Adyate means is eaten. It's a passive verb. This grass matter is said to be Annam because it is the eater, it is as the eaten as well. The eater also is the grass matter and the eaten also is the grass matter. Subject of the act of eating is the grass matter, the object of act of eating also is the grass matter. Adana karta. Adana karma, isn't it? Both are the grass matter only, Annam Brahma only. Therefore, Brahman is this Brahma, the grass matter, this grass matter is called Annam because it is the eater as well as the eaten. Adyate ticha bhuta adyat. We'll see that. Adyate ticha bhutani.
Adyate ticha bhutani.
Tasmadannam taduchyata iti.
Tasmadannam taduchyata iti.
Adyate iti annam. Because the grass matter is eaten, it is called annam. When you say grass matter is eaten, therefore it is called annam. Adyate iti annam. That which is eaten is annam. How do you say grass matter is eaten? Are we eating the grass matter directly? No. The grass matter is eaten means what? The grass, all that the physical bodies need, all of them are converted into the eatable, edible, consumable form in the form of food, then it is eaten. So what we eat actually, whatever is eaten, the food, is what actually the plants, and those plants are nothing but the modified form of the matter alone. Therefore, what now? Adyate iti annam. First, food is eaten. So, when we are alive, hale and healthy, young also, and as we grow old and older, the quantity becomes reduced. But in my case, the quantity is always the same. What I am saying? And then all of us eat. So, what we eat? First, we eat annam, the grass matter in the form of food. We eat and eat. The way it is eaten. And afterwards what happens? After the sukshma departs, when the body is said to be dead body, this grass material physical body also what happens? It is eaten. doesn't matter in which form it is carefully disposed. Sandalwood box or which box it is kept before buried, it's buried, isn't it? Your organism, inside you have satin cloth or nice silk cloth and all perfumes and nice roses. Doesn't matter how you dispose the physical body. Which box, how many priests come and what all they chant and how many people come and then which crematorium. Who cares, okay? Are buried. Because what? Then this body is eaten by the same matter. It's burnt, reduced to ashes. We can hear actually speaking, we are supposed to do the Marana Upasana. Marana Upasana is what now? Visualizing the death of the physical body. And we can say, no, I don't mind it, visualizing the death of my own body, but I can't imagine that visualizing the death of somebody else around me. A visualizing the death of your own physical body or anybody else around you, a much closer person or closest person also, is really speaking fact. What is the fact? It dies and afterwards it is taken, okay, then it is buried or cremated, reduced to ashes, and what happens? Eaten up, okay? Everything else eats up this body. Maybe the bones will take very long to get disintegrated, to become calcium. Very long. It takes very long. Very, very long. But everything becomes what? Gets disintegrated. Again becomes what? Soil. All the chemicals. It gets disintegrated and goes back to its original respective state. All the elements disintegrated. Bye. See you later on. They said bye to each other and they go back to their respective state. Earth joins the. Here, what is there? Listen, all the minerals and chemicals go back to the earth. Water here is here, water outside. Is it? Water joins the water. Heat in the physical, the temperature in the physical body is what? Joins the fire. Fire is form of temperature. Water is, of course you know that, in this body. And all minerals and chemicals are very much here. Earth is the form of our physical. So that's why body stinks also. And what about space? There is space outside, body occupies the space. And inside also there is space. Here there is space and here also there is space. Lot of space inside. You know, in keeping how much we eat, we can make it how much space we have also. Space inside. The air inside. I don't want to talk about the air. So, which element is not here? All the elements are here. In the same, therefore what they all become, get disintegrated, they get back to their original state. See, we are laughing, it's a fact, isn't it? But how much, when people go for this pedicure, manicure, you should think, my God, of course we have to keep our bodies very clean and nice, no doubt. Pedicure, manicure, and so much of oiling and massaging and then waiting, it looks so shining and all that, so much of care when they give. It's too much, isn't it? Too much of attention to body. See, we have to maintain our bodies clean and healthy, no doubt. But too much of attention. The beauty parlors, the more deha abhimana you can never give up. The more we go to beauty parlors, we can never get rid of deha abhimana. Really, satyam. Keeping... Okay, I'm not going to do this. Now, what I'm saying here, this is the fact, isn't it? It's called what now? So, adyate atticha, iti, adyate ticha bhutani. So, beings initially eat the matter in the form of food, and the same modified food, the matter of this body is also what now? Later on, eaten up. they are consumed by any elements. They all go back to their respective state. Elements go back. That's why death in Sanskrit bhasha is called panchatvam. Panchatva praptihi. We won't say somebody died. In India, when somebody dies, we don't say somebody died. We use nice words, paramapada prapti. No, panchatva prapti. However the rogue the person is, we write nice words about death. Panchatva prapti, attainment of great higher state. What higher state? You came from all elements, you go back to elements. So, disintegration and go back to each state. Therefore, it's called what now? Being eaten up. Okay? Being eaten by other gross matter. The gross matter of elements. Therefore, that which is it is eaten, and it is also eater of the food, and it is eaten as the food is this gross matter. Therefore, it's also called what? Annam. Understand now? Whenever you think of the word annam, you should think eater and the eaten. Don't think only eaten is annam. The eater, which is the annam. Okay? The eaten annam becomes the eater annam later on again what? Eaten by again other things. Eater is annam, eaten, not only eaten is annam, eater also will be eaten later on. Eater will be eaten later on. You have to remember this. Okay? All our bodies will be eaten up one day. This is a fact, very bitter fact. Nobody likes this fact, but Upanishad doesn't want to be. No, it wants to be very straightforward and then say just straight, tell us the fact. Okay. Tasmad annam, tasmat therefore annam uchyate, tad annam uchyate. Therefore, this matter is said to be what? Annam, is known as annam. Tasmad, tad means what? Annam. He is said to be what? Annam iti uchyate. Iti, and the iti stands for the end of the Rig Mantra. Iti means thus says the Rig Mantra. About what? About the gross matter Annam Brahma. So now, how do you, it talks about the gross physical body. So analysis or of this, the nature of the gross physical body is actually what? Analysis of the gross, total gross matter. The Vishwaha is the alambanam, object of meditation, no, the symbol of meditation. And object of meditation is what? Virat. Macrocosm is the object of meditation and microcosm is the alambanam for the meditation. Is it clear? Then, now, the question comes, how long should I meditate, practice this meditation? How long should I do this meditation? What meditation? Anna Brahma Upasanam. How long should I do? How long should I dwell upon the nature of the gross physical body? How long? As long as your ego, deha, abhimana is stronger. As long as your identity with the physical body is so strong. And as long as your ahankara becomes fat, keep on dwelling upon this nature of the physical body. So long one should be practicing this meditation. Suppose the doubt comes, Swaminiji, really we don't want to, you know. I think it's very difficult to dwell upon this nature of the physical body. That means don't worry. It is difficult means what? it will take another 20-25 years. At the whole Janma, we will only be sitting where? In the first step. If you are not ready, only when the Deha Abhimanam goes, only then you are qualified to enter into the next step. People think, oh, Panchakosha Prakriya means what? Immediately I can go jump to next Prakriya or what? Next step or what? As long as Deha Abhimana is there, you cannot proceed to the next layer of personality. And Vedanta expects this. What does it say now? I'm not saying you should not go, don't worry, I will proceed next class. No, because how long should they be practicing this? Because Vedanta does not say should not have Deha Abhimana. It is wrong to have Deha Abhimana, it does not say. But Vedanta student, one who is interested in the vision of the subtlest, most abstract reality, should, what now, be free from this Deha Abhimana. One should, it's not, it's a very big obstacle. Deha Abhimana is a big obstacle, hindrance, impediment for the recognizing, for assimilating the vision of the subtlest reality, Atma. So Deha Abhimana has to go. It is not wrong to have the Deha Abhimana. It is very natural for us to have the Deha Abhimana. But we should be prudent and intelligent enough. No, we can't afford to be Buddhus. We should be Buddhi Mantaha, isn't it? Not Buddhi Mandaha. Mandaha means what? Mandaha means dull. Buddhi Mantaha means intelligent. We should not be Buddhi Mandaha, we should be Buddhi Mantaha. We should be intelligent and prudent and sharp, mature enough, to be able to slowly grow out of this Deha Abhimana, identity with the physical body. Slowly we had to get rid of this Deha Abhimana, but we can't get overnight. That is why we had to dwell upon the nature of the physical body. That is why this is, understand now, why Annamaya Deha, Annamaya Viveka Vichara. It's a Vivekaha. Annamaya Vivekaha now. Pancha Kosha Viveka Prakriya. Each layer of personality is taken as the Atma first. Then you analyze and learn to be objective. Then free from the Abhimana with that particular layer. Each layer is taken as the Atma. And overnight I'm not the body. It's not in saying it. It should be in my day-to-day life, the transformation, the understanding, assimilation of the fact must reflect in my day-to-day life. Objectivity must be there. It's not that easy. That is why we had to constantly dwell upon the fact. It's a bitter fact, very simple fact, but bitter fact what? The nature of the physical body. And you will slowly become objective. So the more you are objective, the more your Abhimanam becomes weakened. The more Abhimanam becomes, goes, the less the Abhimanam becomes, weaker the Ahankara. Then you understand what? You are eligible for entering into the next step. Then you can put your, now you have, you are very firm on the first step. You're very firm. Both the feet are on the first step. You're very firm. You are not wobbling. You are very clear. Very clear. Then you lift, slowly lift your, next foot and place it on the next step. Enter into Annamaya, Pranamaya Atma. When you lifted this foot or both the feet and place both the feet in the next step, then you are way. First step is what now? No more the goal, isn't it? When you enter into the pranamayatma, now you say what? Annamaya dehaha is not atma. How did you start with? You started with saying annamayaha dehaha atma. Now having analyzed, having paid attention to the nature of the physical body, having visualized upon the entire virat upon this vishwaha, this vyashti annamayaha dehaha, now you have really developed objectivity and you no more dehabhimana. Dehabhimana is gone. Therefore, the ahankara also is now weakened. Ahankara is not gone, will not go. Aham vritti is still there, isn't it? But still, I sense is there. But it is, ahankara has become thin now. What happened now? Now you are able to say, I am not the physical, just the physical body, isn't it? Then the physical gross body, Atma, is not the physical body. When you say Atma is not annamayaha dehaha, when you say, then this what is first taken as the Atma is converted into koshaha. And what is, if Atma is not the physical body, I the Atma am not the physical body, then what is the physical body then? You should have the name. This physical body is Anatma. What is physical body? Anatma. If it is not the Atma, what is it? Anatma. And here, suddenly some thought comes. What is that? You have to get back to the first line, first introduction. The first Anuvaka, Upanishad presented Atma as the Jagat Karanam. Everything has come into existence from the Brahmatma, it has said. Now you have to remember. You do not know what Atma is, but you know one thing very well. What is that you know? Atma is not the gross body. That means Atma is not the gross body. That means what? What is gross body then? This gross body is Anatma. Now you have to remember the fact. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akashasambhutaha. From there onwards, one fact we have already understood what? Everything has come into existence from Atma. That means Atma is the Karanam. And Anatma is what? No, is the Karyam. Everything has come into existence from Atma. Atma is not the physical body. Therefore, our physical body is the Anatma. Therefore, Anatma must have come into existence from where? From the Atma. How do we know? Everything has come into existence from Atma, we have understood. Therefore, Atma is not the body means body is the Anatma. Anatma body must have come into existence from where? The Atma. Therefore, Atma is the Karanam, Anatma is the Karyam. Okay, that is fine. Now, once it is Anatma is Karyam, next step is what now? Karanam, anything which is the Karyam has no... Another way of analyzing it. Anything which is Karyam that has no independent existence. Therefore, the Anatmanaha, Anatma, Annamaya Dehaha is what now? Annamayaha Dehaha, Anatma. Okay, first you have understood now, Anatma. Next step, now you have understood. Is Anatma. First step, Anatmatvam. Because anything which is anat, which is not the Atma, anything which is not the Atma, is a product of the Atma. therefore this is karyam. Anatmatvam number one point you have to remember, and then is karyatvam, it is the effect. And anything which is an effect is what? Nothing but namarupa. Namarupatvam, third point. So physical body is what? Anatma. Anatma is what? Effect. Why it is effect? Because everything, Atma is only karanam. And if effect means what? Anything which is an effect, karyam, is what? As namarupa, as namarupatvam. It has what now? Just the name and form. Anything which is not, anything which is the effect is nothing but name and form. So, anatmatvam, karyatvam, namarupatvam. And anything which is just the name and form is what now? Mithya. Mithya. Mithya means what? That which has no independent existence. Namarupa has no independent existence. I mean, you can say it has a borrowed existence. Mithya is something which has borrowed existence. Anything which has borrowed existence has no independent existence. Anything which has no independent existence is as good as non-existent. Okay, you have to come to this idea. Anything which has no independent existence is as good as non-existence. Is it clear now? Non-existent. As good as non-existent. I got now? This is the underlying physical body. What is physical body now? First you understand, Atma is not the gross physical body. Atma annamayaha dehaha na. How do you get it? By develop objectivity. Being objective towards it. Once it is not the Atma, then everything and anything other than the Atma is what now? Product of the Atma. Why? Earlier we have understood everything has come into existence from the Atma. Therefore, this Deha also is what now? Not the Atma, this Anatma. Anything which is Anatma is a Karyam. That which is not the Atma is the Anatma. Anatma, anything Anatma is a Karyam. Anything Karyam is Namarupam. Anything Namarupam is what? Mithya. Anything Mithya has borrowed existence. Anything which has borrowed existence has no independent existence. Anything which has no independent existence is as good as non-existent. These are the corollaries we have to derive from this lesson. Not simply panchakosha prakriya means what? Oh. Is that annamaya kosha viveka and vicharaha. Have you got it? Now we can say what? Now Upanishad says, yes. Annamayaha deha. Atma is not the annamayaha deha. And there is something interior to this gross physical body. It is called pranamayaha is the Atma. Pranamayaha is the Atma. Annamayaha has been converted now. What now? Is already anatma now. Now to in our understanding, it was in our understanding Annamayaha was the Atma. Upanishad presented as the Atma. It helped us to analyze, understand. Now it has helped us to come to this understanding that Anatma Annamayaha Dehaha Na. It means what? Annamayaha Deha Anatma. If it is Anatma, it is a Karyam. If it is a Karyam, it is just the Namarupam. If it is a Namarupam, it is a Mithya. If it is a Mithya, it has no independent existence. If it is no independent existence, it is as good as non-existent. Okay? Now, what is Atma then? Tasmat we have to see the next line. I'll stop here. We'll do the next class. Tasmadva etasma tasmadva etasmadannarasamayat tasmadva etasmadannarasamayat tasmadva etasmad annarasamayat. This physical body is annarasamayaha dehaha. And from this annarasamayat dehat anyaha, other than this body, this other one, which is the Atma. What is that? Pranamayaha. Where is it? Antaraha, interior to this gross physical body, which is the modified form of the food. What is there? Pranamayaha is the Atma. Is it clear now? Now we have lifted both our feet and placed in the next step. Now we are standing on where? Pranamayaha Atma. Are we ready to go to the next step? No. We are only standing there. Next class we'll come back and then we analyze, then slowly lift this our first, no, the foot from the second and put it on the third. Slowly we have to lift one after the other, both the feet. Okay, not quickly, very slowly. It is very difficult to do this meditation, if we say. And Upanishad says what? In Upanishad indicates, doesn't say it directly. Don't worry, you can sit in the first step itself for many more janmas. As long as you wish, nobody is going to question you. Okay? Take our own time to arrive at Atma. Come back again and again and again, janma after janma. We can be here. You don't need to go to Pranamayatma. So we'll see next class. It's okay? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harih Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om. Swamiji used to tell us a story in order to make everybody laugh in the auditorium. And to teach this subtle fact, come on, what do we need to achieve to be happy? Now, you're all happy, you're not achieved anything. Now, to understand it, without achieving anything, one can be happy. To make understand this fact, he'll make everybody laugh first. And to make everybody burst into laughter, he'll tell some small thing in his own way. And he used to say that about two friends. One village boy, one rich boy, and the poor boy. And the rich boy, the poor boy got engaged, and he was this marriage day. And the poor rich boy gave his angavastram, you know, this shawl, shoulder shawl, to this poor boy. And people are all coming, you know, they all want to know who two young boys are standing, who is the bridegroom here? They want to know, because both are young, both are, you know, they look good looking and all that. Who is the bridegroom here? They all want to know, people. And the fellow who gets married, he feels very shy in India, no, village boy. So he can't really, he won't say that. So this friend boy, he has to introduce, okay. Now, then the rich boy had to introduce this poor boy who was getting married. This is the bridegroom, but the angavastram he is wearing is mine. And this fellow got really, oh my God, don't talk about the angavastram, no. And then he said, another person came, who is the bridegroom? He is the bridegroom, but I tell you, angavastram is not mine, he said, later on. Again, other person, people came, no, who is the bridegroom? Who is the bridegroom? Both look alike and well dressed now. He is the bridegroom, but please don't talk about, ask me anything about the angavastram, he said. Third, like that. Somebody used to tell, Swamiji, the way he says it in between, I'll make everybody laugh. Nothing to do with angavastram or the poor boy or the rich boy or anything. The idea is people have to laugh, burst into laughter. The whole Kamal, that auditorium, 3,000-4,000 people will be sitting in Chennai auditorium, they'll all be laughing. And he'll ask, after a few minutes, he'll wait. People all, it will take 2 minutes for people to stop laughing. When I say it doesn't, I mean, it's because I'm a hurry, I'm saying. Then slowly he'll ask, now, what have you achieved to be happy? That is his lesson. One need not accomplish anything for one's happiness. That's the lesson. He used to tell that.